Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
A couple was out celebrating their 60th anniversary. And while they were both 85 years old, they were in relatively really good health. They thought part of this was the grace of God, but another part of it was, man, they were all into healthy living. They never ate any of the things their doctor said they shouldn't. They were consuming all the good, healthy kind of stuff, and they were doing quite well. It was a great anniversary celebration, but unfortunately, on that night home, it was a tragic accident. It wasn't their fault, but they both ended up at the gates, the pearly gates of heaven. St. Peter was there to greet them and welcome them into heaven. And took them, first of all, to their house, which was really this just beautiful mansion. And the husband was like, oh my words, this is incredible. I never thought I'd get to live any place like this, let alone for eternity. Can you just tell me, how much is this going to cost me? And St. Peter's like, well, it's heaven, it's free. And the guy just couldn't believe it. And they walked out the back door. And just beyond their gorgeous, you know, jacuzzi and pool is this golf course. And the golf course, you can press a button, you can change it every day to the best, most beautiful golf courses here on earth and beyond. And the guy is like, just loves the golf. And he's like, this is just wonderful. But like, what are the green fees? How much is this going to cost me? And St. Peter just looks at him again and says, it's heaven, it's free. So then they make their way over to the clubhouse. And the clubhouse, man, it is this lavish buffet. All the foods you could imagine, but a table of all this man's favorite foods. The foods that for decades he has not been able to eat because of all of his healthy eating and all of his healthy living. And he says once again to St. Peter, he says, you know, come on, can you tell me how much is this going to cost me? And St. Peter's getting a little annoyed. He says, it's heaven, it's free. And then the guy says, okay, but where's the table full of, you know, all of like the low cholesterol, you know, low fat, low sugar stuff? And St. Peter's like, no, there's none of that here. It's like, this is heaven. You can eat anything you want, and you'll never get fat. You'll always be healthy. And the husband just breaks into a fit like a two-year-old in a grocery store, throwing himself on the floor, just wailing inconsolably. St. Peter looks at the wife. The wife looks at St. Peter. They have no idea what is going on. Finally, they get the man back up on his feet. The sobbing, the crying, the screams, the anguish just all comes to stop. And they're like, well, what's wrong? And the man looks at his wife and he says, if it wasn't for all that stupid kale and bran muffins, I could have been here like at least a decade earlier. Well, welcome to week two on heaven. That means you have 1 week left. There's one more possibility of a really bad heaven joke for you to either look forward to or to dread. And we started out last week, and we were looking at three different conversations where Jesus mentions heaven or talks about heaven. And it's not a conversation to avoid. It is something that we get to look forward to. It's something that you should think about. It's something that we can anticipate. And I really want you to get that heaven is something you can look forward to. It's something you can be excited about. One of my favorite true stories, one that has just stayed with me for decades. Young boy, terminal cancer, coming up on his final hours, final days. And his dad's just sitting there with him and holding his hand, and the boy just begins to like smile ear to ear. And the dad, the father, he knows what kind of pain his son is in. He knows what is coming his way. He says, can you just tell me, what are you smiling about? He says, Dad, I'm going to ride me a dinosaur in heaven. And I've always loved that. I've always loved that. Now look, I don't know if there will be dinosaurs in heaven or not. My guess is that there will be, right? That's a guess. But here's what I know. That boy gets something that most of us miss. He gets that heaven is something to look forward to, something to anticipate, something that we can spend time thinking about, not a conversation to avoid, but something that can actually help us in the life that we're living in the here and now. Some people think, you know, why talk about heaven? What bearing does it have on our life here and now on earth? Some people can't see the practical application. D.L. Moody was walking to a church in Philadelphia. And along the way, he was walking with his friend, and the friend says, "Hey, Moody, what are you going to preach on tonight?" And Moody says, I'm going to preach about heaven." And his friend just sort of grimaces, and Moody catches that, and he says, "Well, what's wrong?" He says, "Well, why preach about heaven? Can't you give us something that really helps our everyday life right now? Heaven just seems like it's so much guesswork. It's just so far out there. Is it really worth a sermon, something for you to preach on?" Moody says, "You know, come on. Jesus, and throughout Scripture, there's heaven and heaven again. If it's worthy of Jesus talking about, isn't it worthy of something that we can talk about?" Over 500 times throughout Scripture, the idea, the topic, the subject matter of heaven is mentioned. And it's not just all the details, because, man, we want all the details, right, of where we're going, where we're going to spend eternity. But so much of the conversation on heaven is about how you and I live our life in the here and now, the practical applications, that it's something that we can look forward to. The Apostle Paul in Colossians, writing to the church in Colossae, he says it like this. He says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." And Paul's like, you and I, we've been given the greatest gift, freedom from sin, by the one who sits in honor with, the place of honor with our Heavenly Father. And it's a gift that we've been given. And he says, don't waste it. Don't settle. Don't fall back into your old life. Don't settle for the ways and things of earth. Look forward to heaven. Set your sights on heaven. Think about the things of heaven. Let it guide your thinking, your living, your way of life. Warren Wiersbe says it like this. He says, for the Christian, heaven isn't simply a destination. It's a motivation. It's something that we can look forward to. It motivates us in the here and now of what it looks like to be a Jesus follower based on what heaven will be like. And we can set our sights and we can look forward to, and we can think about the things of heaven. Not get caught up, not having our focus on the things here on earth. And then Paul continues in verse 5, and he says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. If this is all that there is, if this world is all that we've got, why wouldn't you focus on the things of this world? Why wouldn't you think about and be caught up in the things of this world? If this life is it, if this world is it, if this earth is it, why wouldn't I get caught up in all of these kind of things? Why wouldn't I get caught up in greed? Getting, hoarding, consuming as much as I can. Why wouldn't I get caught up in sexual immorality? Who cares about God's boundaries for sex? Just whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, whoever I want. Why wouldn't I get caught up in impurity lust? Why wouldn't I get caught up in evil desires? Those people who get in the way of me getting what I want here on earth, why wouldn't I want to cause them harm or to push them out of the way? Let me explain it in a different way, from a different angle. If you don't believe in heaven, or you make heaven so bland and boring that it's absolutely nothing to look forward to, then all you're left with is your limited time on earth. And then this world becomes your focus. This world becomes what you're thinking about. You set your sights on earth and the things of earth. Get all that you can now. Do everything you want now. It doesn't matter what the cost, who gets hurt, or who goes without. If this earth is all that there is, why not set your sights on everything you want? Power, fame, fortune, control. If this world is all that I'm aiming for, all that you're aiming for, Paul's next words don't make any sense. He says, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now, in the here and now, not on the other side of eternity, but now. Now is the time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. See, you and I, every day we make choices, and every day the choices we make can bring some of the beauty and the order of heaven into this world, or bring up some of the chaos and hurt and pain of hell into this world. Every day, you and I have choices to make. And our choices, what you and I decide, reflect what we're striving for. Reflect what we're focusing on. Reflect what we're looking forward to. Have we set our sights on the things of earth or on the things of heaven? Everyday choices. You and I. Do we choose anger or love? Do we choose rage or forgiveness? Do we choose malicious behavior or peace? Do we choose slander or encouragement, dirty language or building one another up, lying or speaking the truth in love? And Paul's helping us connect the dots, right? The more that we focus on the things of earth, the more that our behavior, our attitudes, our mindsets will reflect our true home. And the more that we focus and think about heaven, something to look forward to, the more our behavior, our mindsets, our attitudes will reflect that we are foreigners and nomads living in a strange land, that our real home is in heaven. Do we always get this? Do we nail this? Do we live perfectly like we're living with our mindset on heaven? No. We make mistakes all the way. You get that. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. We all sin. But we get back up and we strive and we set our focus and we look forward to the things of heaven. When we were on vacation at the beach, the five of us were out on the water, and we usually go far out. You know, we're some of the furthest people out in the ocean. And I looked up, and from a distance, I could see this like person. It looked almost like from the distance they were walking on water. But as they got close to us, I realized that this is what I was looking at. And my first thought is, that is cool, right? My second thought is, I really want to try that someday. It reminded me a little bit of the Silver Surfer from, you know, Fantastic Four, for those of you that remember that. He's just cruising. He keeps coming towards us, zigging back and forth. And he comes so close to us, and so he actually talks to us as he's going by. He keeps going the other direction, and then he comes back. And I just keep watching him because I'm fascinated. All peace, all smooth sailing. And then he hits a sandbar. Woof! He gets back on the board. He gets up, hits another sandbar. Woof! Goes flying. And I'm like, well, I want to try this, but on like a lake, not like in an ocean, right? But I thought, what a picture of you and I following Jesus, setting our sights on heaven, not the things of earth. Man, we can be moving along our spiritual direction, our spiritual life. We're just cruising. It's so beautiful. And then, poof, we sin, we mess up. Our focus becomes on this earth and not the things of heaven. But Jesus continues to give us abilities and time to just get back up and get moving again. And Paul continues on, pushing us to set our sights on heaven, to make our lives line up with God's will as it is done in heaven. In verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. Like, in other words, put this on, wear this. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And he goes on to say, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, number one thing to wear, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful for. And Paul starts with, set your sights on heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not of earth. And then he gets to all this practical application for how the reality of heaven impacts how we live today. I was talking with one of you this past week, and we were talking about a bunch of things. And we just somehow slid into this topic of how hard it can be to forgive other people who have hurt us. You want to avoid those people at times. I'm sure none of you have ever done this, right? But I've been before in a grocery store and I saw at a distance somebody that's hurt me. Cart goes in a different direction, right? You just avoid them. You've never done that, right? You know it's really bad when you think, you know what? I don't really need milk all that much anyways. It's a different level of bad when you think, you know what? I don't like this grocery store chain anymore. I'm going to the other one down the street from here on out. And you definitely have some unresolved issues when you leave a full grocery cart sitting there and leave the store just because you don't want to run to that person. I said, that's not the way it's going to be in heaven. You're not going to run to anybody that you don't want to be with. You're going to just be full on enjoying your time with them. Here's the thing. I'm okay with people who are mad at me that are Jesus followers. They can be mad at me for decades, 20, 30, 40 years. I don't care. Because they're going to be stuck with me for all of eternity in heaven. Don't be sad when someone leaves your church. You'll get to spend all of eternity with them. Be sad when somebody leaves Jesus and his bride, the church. But do you understand, when you live in light of heaven, when you're looking forward, when you're setting your sights on the things of heaven, you see people not from an earthly standard, but from a heavenly perspective. Someone who God created. And you see yourself from a heavenly perspective. Someone who is greatly loved by their heavenly Father. You're all caught up in just seeing your faults, or you're struggling with self-esteem or anxiety. Would you just allow you to, could you just see yourself the way your heavenly Father sees you, the way that Jesus sees you? Could you live life from that heavenly perspective? In heaven, pride melts away. Bitterness gets destroyed. Unresolved anger, man, it's a thing of the past. Envy no longer has any meaning. Broken relationships are restored. injustice can't survive for a nanosecond. Words that sometimes we speak that we later regret no longer come out of our mouths. Actions or behaviors that we've been ashamed of, not only do they no longer happen, you don't even have a desire for them to happen. And Paul's like, don't wait. Don't wait until heaven to live like you were in heaven. Don't wait until heaven to treat others the way that you will treat them in heaven. Paul says, aim higher, play the long game, bring parts of heaven to earth now. All too often I'm meeting with someone and they're just beating themselves up. How did I do that again? I'm so stupid. If I just had more discipline, if I just had more self-control, I wouldn't be getting myself into these situations. Please hear me. Discipline and self-control, really great things to develop. Great things to desire. But when you're setting your sights on heaven, it's not about control. It's about surrender. It's about surrender. I'm no longer living my life for my own glory. I'm no longer living my life for my earthly desires. I'm surrendering to Jesus. I'm surrendering to my heavenly Father. I'm surrendering my power and asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to help me live this life with my eyes and mindset set on the things of heaven. I'm praying like Jesus taught me. Heavenly Father, may your will be done in my life. May your will be done on earth as your will is done in heaven. Your absolutely perfect, flawless will always executed perfectly in heaven. You see, living a life with our eyes set and focused on heaven, looking forward to heaven, it's not about control, it's about surrender. Well before the Church of Colossae ever existed, well before a man named Saul bent his knee before Jesus and became the Apostle Paul, Jesus taught this same principle to his followers. He teaches the same thing to us. To set our sights, to look forward, to focus on the things of heaven. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said it like this. He taught it like this. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, a better, more excellent way to live your life. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is there, the desires of your heart will be also. When we talk about this, we often think in terms of three things: your time, your talent, and your treasure, your wealth, your resources, right? And you can get a pretty good idea of what a person is focusing on, where they have set their sights. You take their time and you just get a hold of their calendar. You get a hold of how much time they're spending on their phone or streaming on their TV or whatever. You get a pretty good idea of what a person's focusing on when you look at their life. If it's all about what they want, all their time is about what they want to do, you know the sights are set on the things of earth. What about your talents? God has equipped each of us uniquely with gifts and skills. But if we're only using them for our own benefit, we're never using them for his benefit, for the expansion of his kingdom. It's all about me and what I want, and I'm not serving others. You get a pretty good idea of where their sights are set, what they're focusing on, the things here of earth. And what about our resources, our treasure? If it's all about me getting more and more, consuming, hoarding my bank records, my credit card statements, my investments, my will, pretty quickly shows what my sights are set on. The things of earth or the things of heaven. And please, don't judge your friends or family. But you can rather quickly evaluate where their sight is set, what they're really looking forward to, the things of heaven or the things of earth. It gives you a way to have some really good conversations with them. If you've spent much time in graveyards, maybe you've noticed this change over the past decade, 15 years. On tombstones, there can now be etched these pictures, right? And graveyards, I've saw on the tombstones, like, that is like a really cool car. Or that's very clear, man. That was a pretty fun hobby that you had. But I wonder, does it really reveal the heart? Is that where your focus was? Is that what was consuming you? Is that what you had set your sights on? Was it all about the things of earth? Or was it about the things of heaven? I heard a unique epitaph, a sketch on a very old tombstone, and it reads like this. It says, "Here lies the body of old man Pease, buried beneath the flowers and trees. But Pease ain't here, just the pod. Pease shucked out and went to God." And I thought, in the words of Jaws, we're going to need a bigger tombstone, right? But for those of you that want to rhyme and start thinking about what you want on your tombstone, it's a good start. And isn't it accurate, right? It's a pretty good portrayal of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Your body, my body, has an expiration date on it. But our souls are eternal. I tried to find a picture of this because I was curious. I started doing some deep diving, some researching, and I found out it's not quite an accurate quote. Civil War veteran from Union, Maine. His name was Pease, P-E-A-S-E. This is how it really read. "Under the trees and beneath the sod, doesn't lies Pease, just the pod. Pease shuck out and went home to God." It inspired me. I think I already have the title for my message next week. It might be this: Pease in Paradise. Seemed like a good way to go. Next week's message. We don't get to do one passage and go deep. We're going to look at a wide variety of passages. It's more of a breath. I want to give you an idea of where you're going, what Scripture has to say to support what heaven will really be like for you. Because this is what we know. This is an American survey in 2021. We find out that nearly 3/4 of Americans believe in heaven, right? 3/4 of Americans believe in heaven. But what we believe and what we think about heaven varies. As a matter of fact, it went on and it asked, what do you believe heaven will be like? And it lists all of these different things of what people think heaven will be like. And next week, I want us to go through and think and see which one of these are supported from Scripture and which one of these are maybe just wishful thinking. But that's where we're going next week. But may you understand, you have something to look forward to. Can you grasp that you don't got to be all caught up and focusing on the things of earth? But our lives, there is such real, practical, everyday application for setting our sights on heaven, to looking forward to heaven, to thinking about the things of heaven. It influences how we live and how we treat one another. May it be so in your life, in my life, in our church. And may people around us get a glimpse of heaven. May they understand that heaven is something that they can look forward to. It's a reality that Jesus talked about again and again. And may we have the privilege of pointing people in that direction to a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father, through his one and only son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have given us in terms of scripture on heaven, but beyond that, that we have something to look forward to. But it's just not for the other side of eternity. How we view heaven, what we think about heaven, when we set our sights on heaven, it influences how we live day in and day out in the here and now. So may our lives reflect that. May the people around us see our focus, that we're just doing what we can to bring a little bit of heaven to earth in the here and now. In the way that we treat one another, in the way that we view our world. And how we invest what you've given to us in terms of our time and our talents and our treasure. May we continue to point all the glory to you. May we continue to point people to you. And may we point people to the hope of heaven for all who choose to follow Jesus in the here and now. We pray this, we commit this in your Son's most precious and holy name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.